Take your Bible and go back with me to where we were studying this morning, Luke chapter number 12. Luke 12, verse number 32. We want to continue our study on facing our fears. Facing our fears. Every one of us have fears. Secret fears, hidden fears, fears we talk about, fears we don't want to talk about. Things that we all have to worry about at different points in our life. But we do know that through the power of God's Word and through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we can face our fears. Now, Brother Donnie a moment ago was talking about a church directory. That's a fear for a pastor. So you don't even know where to go. But we have a great, great time in the Lord. We're a happy church. We're a blessed church. And one of the things that we can do is if things maybe sometimes don't turn out the way you have planned or how you have purposed them to be, you can always pray and say, you know, by God's help, I won't give up. We'll try again. We'll do that again. Well, in life, we have to face many problems. Sometimes we face our fears, and one of the fears that we face is the fear of failure, that I will not be successful, whether it is in a relationship, whether it is in a job or career, whether it's in a business investment. There's a fear factor there. There's also a fear factor that we all have to deal with in the terms of our own self-esteem, whether or not we're accepted. One of the greatest fears that people have is the fear of rejection, the fear of being rejected. That's one reason that I try to emphasize to people over and over that if you're in a battle, if you're in a hard place, if you're going through a difficult time in your life spiritually, the very first thing that the devil wants you to do is to get out of church. Because the one place you can receive some help is from the Word of God. You say, well, Pastor, I'll just read my Bible at home. There's something special takes place when the family of faith gathers together. Because I don't know about you, but I've already been encouraged tonight. I've already been strengthened tonight. Just watching other people worship is a blessing to me. And just to find out that there's a time of strength and fellowship for each and every one of us to gather together and to take the Word of God and to study it, to know that I can face my fears. And sometimes you're too weak spiritually. Listen to this. Sometimes you're too weak emotionally, and you will meet a day in your life you'll be too weak physically to face your fears. And there's where you're going to thank God for a Christian friend, a brother, or a sister that will say, I will hold you up in prayer. I will be there for you. To know that someone loves you and someone cares about you and that they will help you face that fear. I want to go back to our text verse tonight as we reintroduce facing our fears. Let's read together Luke 12. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, if I look at this particular verse of Scripture, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, we realize that God is including us in His plan and in His purpose. But a part of God's plan and a part of God's purpose is God's process. God is working on me. You remember years ago the kids used to sing a song, He's still working on me. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. God is still working on you. God is still working on me. And God is helping me as I grow, as I mature, as you grow, and as you mature, that we would take the Word of God, ingest it, and have it strengthen us in this world that we're living in to face our fears. Now, be reminded of Psalm 79:13. So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture. The Old Testament says that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? All right. Now, if I have these scriptures using this over and over, the Bible also declares that all we like sheep have gone where? Astray. All right? We're emphasizing the fact that God, not Ralph, not the Baptist, but God Almighty is making a connection that we would look at the sheep, look at that relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, and what is the shepherd known for? What is he known for as his character? It is the fact that he's always with the sheep. If they're not with the shepherd, then they're in the fold safely for the night. You understand what I'm saying? That shepherd is always there. And that's what he's wanting you to understand. That's what he's wanting you to be comforted with, is that when you face your fears, that you understand the shepherd is there with you. John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, if I process all of this together, then I can review about being a part of the flock that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm going to face my fears, then I have to understand by the Word of God and by the witness of the Holy Spirit abiding in me, who I am in Him. The Bible says, if ye abide in me, and I do what? Abide in you. So you've got to have that connector. Now listen to me very carefully here. If you are not guided and counseled by the Word of God, if you are not guided and directed by the Word of God, you will be guided and counseled by your fears. Your fears will be your daily guide. You will respond to your fears. Your fears will control you, whether it be a conscious fear or whether it be a subconscious fear. The fear will be the motivator and the guider of your life. And for that reason, I have to begin to read the Word of God. And that's why if you get busy making a living, you get busy taking care of your family, if you get busy in your career, what is the first thing that the devil wants you to do? He wants you to be robbed of time in your Bible, that you're not a student of the Word of God. You can't face your fears if you don't know what God can do for you. You can't face your fears if you don't know that He is the shepherd that will never leave you and never forsake you. So what the devil quickly tries to do is to get us all busy. And then if we're not busy, then we're all distracted. That we are robbed of the strength of His inerrant, infallible Word. It's hard to face the fears of life without any spiritual food. So if I understand the warfare, if I understand the battle, then what happens is the devil doesn't want me to read my Bible. He doesn't want me to be a student of the Bible. He doesn't want me to go to a Bible fellowship class. He doesn't want me to go to a men's prayer breakfast or a ladies' prayer brunch. He doesn't want me to be in a small group. He doesn't want me to have family devotions. He doesn't want me to have a personal time in His Word. Why? Because if I am equipped, I can not only help myself, I can help other people. One of the things that we're put on this planet to do after salvation is that we are to be salt and light, and we are to be an encourager. And you know that you have passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. And if you love the brethren, you want the brethren to grow. You want the disciple ministry of this church to grow. You want us to be students of the Word of God. You want us to be fed when we gather together. And the first thing that the devil wants to do is to take the bread out of your mouth. That's the Word of God. Even while you're sitting on a pew. You can sit right here in church and walk out the door and say, well, you know what? I just didn't get fed. I didn't feel anything today. Well, the reason is you're in a level of spiritual warfare. The devil does not want you to acquire knowledge or to acquire spiritual strength. He wants you to be weak. He wants you to be immature. How many times have you heard me say, if you come into this building to see me, you've wasted the gasoline you burned to get here. It better not be about wrath that you come into this building. It better be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord may send me next Sunday down to the beach to find out where all my church is. But you better be here having church. Say amen right there. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to know that when you go to the house of God, when you're meeting here to worship and to pray, that you're not here just because you're kind and gracious and you love the pastor. You better be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. You better love God's Word. And you better desire to know God's Word. You better know what you believe and why you believe it. You'll be overwhelmed by your fears, and your fears will become your counselors. They will guide you, and you'll find yourself. Let me give you another illustration. Dr. David Gibbs used this thought in his message. He talked about stacking the blocks. You remember that? The pros and the cons. I thought that was a great illustration. I can do this and I can't do this. And what we do is when we begin to think in that process is a process of fear. We're trying to rationalize it. We're trying to figure it out before we get there. And we're leaving God out of the equation. And we don't want to leave God out of the equation. All right. So for us to have the strength to face our fears, we have to know who we are in Jesus Christ. Abide in Him. He abides in us. So let's go back to the flock and let's talk about once again, what kind of flock are we? Well, we talked about this morning. We are a purchased flock. We know that Jesus gave His life for us. He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. He bought us and He redeemed us with the ultimate sacrifice. Not the blood of goats or bulls or pigeons or doves. He gave His life once and for all. One time. Never to have another sacrifice. And that's why it says on this table, this do in remembrance of me. Because we don't re-crucify Jesus Christ. He said, you take Holy Communion, you take the Lord's Supper, and you remember me. You remember what I did. When your teeth crush that little soda cracker, that little unleavened bread, when your teeth crush that, that is to remind you of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your teeth grind it. He was ground under your burden of sin. He gave His life for you. And He said, do that and remember me. And then when you drink the juice of the vine, it represents His precious blood. The blood that was put on the altar of God once and for all. Not another sacrifice, not 10 sacrifices. We don't sacrifice Him 8 times a week. Hey, He died once and for all. The blood was shed. We was put on the mercy seat, never to be again sacrificed because He loved you. And if I'm going to face my fears, I've got to know that that was a finished work of Calvary. That Jesus is going to help me through life. And the blood has been applied. So He bought me. He purchased me. All right, number two, we talked about that we are a purged flock. That's another word for washed or cleansed. And that we've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. So that's where we get that phrase, the purged flock. Because it is not only a purchased flock, but it is a purged flock. And when you begin to go through these scriptures, you begin to understand that it is something that has already taken place for us. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. That's that purchased act. Jesus purchased you. And then that purged flock, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All right. Then we mentioned this morning a peculiar or particular flock. That's Matthew 20, verse 16. And then we talked about a painted or marked flock. We talked about how the sheep were marked, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. One of the marks that we talk about is that we are painted or we are identified with Christ. But we also know that there's an arch enemy, the adversary, the devil, the Antichrist. What in Revelation 13, what is one of the things that the Antichrist does? He distributes a what? A mark. He said it'll have to be in the right hand or the forehead. He's going to mark those that are following him. And I'm telling you, God's already painted your soul with the royal red blood of Calvary. You're already marked in the family of God. So you need to have this comfort today in your heart that you're a part of the purchased flock. You're a part of the purged flock. You're a part of the peculiar flock or particular flock. And you are a painted flock. But there's something else I want to give you. I want to remind you in Job chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Romans 12 and verse number 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that there's another part of being a part of this flock. It is a patient flock. That many times we have to wait upon the Lord. I don't know about you. I'm sort of a type A person. I don't do well at stoplights or stop signs. I get aggravated at yield signs. But the truth of the matter is that we are all wired differently. We're made up different ways. And sometimes the hardest thing you can do and I can do is to wait on God. How many times have we gotten in trouble going to help God? I'm going to solve it. God, you're real busy. I'll fix this. Then God has to show up with a truckload of angels to clean up your mess and then go fix the problem. I mean, he loves us with an unexplainable love. But we all do not, at various times, we don't want to be patient. We don't want to wait on the Lord. But God says that if being a part of this purchase and purged flock is to be a patient flock. Let me give you another verse, Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of patience. I don't like that verse. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It's in the Bible, so we're going to just have to and take it. And God said we need patience. And here's the part that you have to process. That every time I pray, I present a biblical petition to the Lord and pray. God's going to answer my prayer. Yes, no, and what's the third one? Wait. He's going to ask me to wait. Why? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. In the fullness of time. It's not my time, it's his time. God is in charge. Many times I thought, boy, if I could just tell what I know as pastor, I could fix that problem. But, you know, I might destroy two families. I might destroy half a church. And you know what? If you'll just sit back and wait on God, here's what will happen. The Lord will go repair the damage. And he'll receive the glory. Man's hands will not be upon it. And we can rejoice in the fact that we waited patiently upon the Father. So we're not only purged and purchased, but we're also not only painted, but we're also a patient flock. But let me give you another one about the flock that will help you face your fears. Because it's hard to be patient when you're afraid. It's hard to be patient when you don't know the outcome. But what he's teaching you and he's teaching me is that there's a trust there. Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep. There it is again. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. Isn't that interesting? All these verses with sheep in them. And he said, he's sending us forth in the midst of wolves. He said, sometimes, Ralph, you're going to feel like a lamb, and I just put you in a wolf convictor. Here's all the wolves in the neighborhood. And I live in a wolfy neighborhood anyway. And God said, say amen. But God said, you know, I'll stick to you as a lamb in the midst of wolves. You know, the other morning, right above the driveway, there was a little, looked like a little baby deer. You could just barely see it. And then all of a sudden, a doe walked out, and she had twins. And still had the spots on them, two little fawns. And I thought how helpless they are. They can't defend themselves. And, you know, a doe, she doesn't even have antlers to run off a predator or a pack of dogs. And they're so exposed to the elements of nature and all the things that are around them. But at the same time, when you think about that picture in nature, there's probably nothing more defenseless than a lamb. Than a lamb. Just a little lamb. What can a lamb do? Lamb can't even scare you. Lamb can't even growl. What can a lamb do? Lamb's so fragile, they can actually be terrorized by an adversary. They can freeze with fear. They can die of fright. And God said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Why would he do that to us? Why would he do that? Same reason he put the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Was he mad at the Hebrew children? No. He wanted to demonstrate his love and power. I'm telling you, you can go in the midst of wolves and be protected. God will take care of you. God will fight your battles. He will defend you as one of his sheep. So we're not only painted and patient, but we're peaceful. But here's another part that will help you face your fears, because this is an important text. You'll find it in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11, 12, and 13. And what do we find out about the flock in this passage? We find out that we are protected. We're bulletproof. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of who? The devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Do you understand that God said that's our protection? You are a protected flock. What is this flock? It's the Lord's flock. It's the flock of Luke 12:32. Fear not. Did anyone pick up on the adjective in that Luke 12:32? What's the next word after fear not? What's that next word? Did that catch anybody's inquisitive? Why did he call us a little flock? Did anybody have a thought about that? Why he would call us a little flock? Many are called, but how many are chosen? Few. He said, little is much if God is in it. That we begin to understand that he picked out the Jewish nation, and what did he say about them? He said, there's not a lot of you. He said, but I'm going to take you and I'm going to use you to illustrate. You're not the prettiest and you're not the most of you, but you'll be my instrument and my tool. And he said in Luke 12, he said, fear not, little flock. It may not be a popularity contest that we're operating in. And therefore, sometimes it's hard to face our fears. What we have to know is our position in the flock. And here's the part I like. If we are a small flock, and we are a protected flock, and a purged flock, and if we're a flock that has been patiently brought together for the shepherd to work with us, guess what all this means? It means that he's there, he's present, and I have access to him. I don't have a hireling shepherd. I've got the great shepherd. Psalms 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. That's an active being verb for you that want to diagram that sentence. He is an active God. He is alive and well. He's not going to be God. He is God. And He is a very present help in the time of trouble. You've got to remember when little David went down there in the valley of Elah to do war against the giant. He stopped by the stream and he picked up five smooth stones. Here those rocks are. God is, God can, God will, God has, and God does. But all it took was rock number one. God is. He is a very present help when you are facing your fears. Live in the victory this week. Don't be discouraged with the battle. Don't be overwhelmed by the giants and the circumstance. Take this Bible apart. Begin to read it. You say, well, I don't really understand it all. Listen, you pray. The Bible declares it is of no private interpretation. That God Himself will be your teacher. And then be faithful to the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Get in a Bible fellowship class. Get in one of these, under the tutelage of one of these Bible teachers that we have on the property. And then be a part of the special opportunities, whether it's the men studying the Word and praying together, or the ladies, or a ladies' prayer group or study group. Be a part of that. Grow in that Word that you'll know you can face your fears when God's Word is living inside of you. It's not of my works, lest I should boast. It's what He's done. It's not my psychology degree. It's not your education. It's the fact of who He is and what He is. And He declared, I am your God. I always love it when Moses goes down to see the Pharaoh. He looks to God and he says, oh, holy God, who do I tell them sent me? And he said, you tell them I am sent you. I like that part. That had to give the devil instant indigestion to know that I am is on the way. Aren't you grateful for that comfort tonight? Oh, you're a great church. Let's start a revival. Let's be back here tomorrow night. Man, I tell you, I like to get in that Word together. Well, you be on fire for the Lord this week. Love on someone that's going through a hard place. Maybe God will allow you to encounter someone that's in the middle of a fear. They're overwhelmed by the circumstance. And you can have a ministry this week of encouragement. Between now and next Sunday, I want you to give a little homework assignment. Okay? And I'm going to give you three things because I wish I had my old Bible with me because I would like to read to you what an old preacher told me when I started out in the ministry. But let me see if I can summarize it for you. He said, Ralph, when you're in the battle, or when you're in the storm, or he said, when you're in a time of bereavement, he said, you go find someone else that's in a storm, or in a battle, or they're bereaved. And he said, and you ask God to give you strength to love on them while they're hurting. And he said, while you're trying, you can't even breathe. You're hurting so bad. You're overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. And while you're trying to say, God, I can't help anybody. I'm a disaster case. I'm just wiped out. I can't encourage somebody else. How can I help her pray about her marriage when my marriage is coming apart? How can I pray for their heart problem when the doctor just told me I've got cancer? How can I do that? How can I pray for their job when I just got the letter of foreclosure on my house? How can I do that? That old preacher told me, he said, you go and you find someone to help. And he said, when you can't help yourself, you go help someone else. And you'll turn around while you're helping them. And you'll feel the hands of Jesus helping you. Because He'll love you so much for helping while you're hurting. He'll help you face your fears.